We are glad to present your speaker, Garland Elkins.
Paul said in Ephesians 2:8 and 9, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." I pointed out in a prior sermon that many people misunderstand the great and marvelous grace of God, and some people reach the conclusion that because God is gracious unto us, that God will overlook sin, that God will allow one to engage in sin with His approval. But the Bible does not teach that. The Bible does tell us, for example, in Titus 2:11 and 12, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." But now note, teaching us. So the grace of God is a teaching grace, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we shall live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. And so we discuss those matters, and for example, I recall that I pointed out that grace does not extend law. There are some people who seem to have in mind that some way, somehow, God will decide to set aside His law. But the Bible does not teach that. I remember that Jesus said in John 12:48, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word which I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." So today we want to continue with a discussion of the grace of God and salvation by the grace of God. Now we've discussed the fact that the matter of grace, it's a grace on God's part, but it is obedience on our part. There are two sides to the matter of salvation. God's side and man's side. All that God does in order to our salvation, He does by grace or favor. He is prompted by His mercy to do all He does. He owes us nothing. But He proposes to give us all things, if we will do His will, that are needful for us. On the human side of the plan, all we do must be done through faith. Referring to both sides, Paul said in Ephesians 2:8 and 9, "For by grace," that's God's part, "are you saved." And, of course, God does the saving, but it is through faith, through faithful obedience on our part. I pointed out in a prior sermon that baptism is not excluded, that baptism is included in the grace of God. Paul says, "Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus," 2 Timothy 2:1. Now, you will note that grace is here said to be in Christ Jesus. Again, Paul says, "Being justified freely by His grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." Romans 3:24. Now here we are told that we must have the redemption that is in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by His grace. The apostle speaks, therefore, of the salvation which is in Christ Jesus. In 2 Timothy 2:10, he said, "Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." Now remember, we cannot be saved apart from Christ. In Acts 4:12, Peter said, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Now, we cannot save ourselves, but at the same time, we are saved by works. But there is a kind of works by which we are not saved. For example, I remember that Paul tells us, in Ephesians 2:9, he says, "Not of works, lest any man should boast." Now, some people claim, when they read this, that this excludes all kinds of works, and therefore they claim that it excludes baptism from the plan. But, friends, the text mentions works of boasting, and there is no more boasting in baptism than there is in belief, repentance, or love, which are admitted to be essential to salvation by most everyone. He said, "Not of works, lest any man should boast." There is no ground for boasting in the gospel of Christ. But if one were to reject the gospel and the atonement of Christ and then succeed in being saved by the old law of Moses or in any other way, he would have ground for boasting. But Paul said, "I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead in vain." Galatians 2:21. John says the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. John 1:17. So we're not saved by the works of the law of Moses. In fact, Paul says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, and of course that is the gospel, our new covenant, Galatians 2:16. Gospel commands are no part of what is called the works of the law, but belong to what is called here the faith of Jesus Christ. But there is a law of faith, though it's not the old law, and by that we will be judged. In James 2:12, so speak ye and so do as men that are to be judged by a law of liberty. Speaking of the obedient believer, Paul says, and speaking of Christ, and by him, that is Christ, by him all that believe are justified from all things, from which he could not be justified by the law of Moses. Acts 13:39. Now, friends, these passages make it plain that we should rightly divide the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2:15. We are not saved by the works of the law of Moses, the old covenant, but that is far from saying that we do not have to do anything in order to be saved under the new covenant. It simply emphasizes the fact that one cannot be saved apart from the gospel. Paul said, for as many as are of the works of the law are under curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Galatians 3:10. Now, friends, this simply shows that in order to be saved by the works of the law, and without faith in Christ, and apart from obedience to Christ, which of course is an impossibility, no one can be saved apart from with faith in Christ. For he said in John 8:24, if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins, and where I go, there ye cannot come. One cannot be saved without obeying Christ, apart from obedience. For in Hebrews 5:8-9, the writer said of Christ, though he was a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. And so, if one could be saved, though, apart from Christ and apart from faith in him, that would mean that he would have to succeed in living a perfect and sinless life. He would have to continue in all things which are written in the book of the law and to do them, and without a single neglect, error, or mistake. But no one except the Son of God ever succeeded in living such a life. The Bible says, for there is no man that sinneth not. 1 Kings 8:46. It says, there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Ecclesiastes 7:20. It says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. It says, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. 1 John 1 and in verse 10. Now, friends, this being true, all accountable beings in the world, when they become accountable, eventually commit sin, and without the gospel, would be lost, are lost at that time, and could not go to heaven if they did not obey the gospel. We cannot go to heaven, we cannot become a child of God apart from the gospel. For Paul said, as many as are the works of the law are under the curse, speaking of the law of Moses in Galatians 3:10. But in the next verse he says that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. In verse 12, though, he says, and the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Now, all of this being true, no man or woman can be so good as to be saved by his own works and without obedience to the gospel. The whole world is lost apart from Christ and must come to Christ. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. But if God were to save one man unconditionally, if one man could be saved apart from Christ, he would be obligated to save all men without Christ. Well, then why would Christ have come and lived and died for us if people could be saved apart from him? Friends, one cannot be saved apart from obedience to Christ. Jesus tells us that the broad way leads to destruction, and many go in thereat, while the narrow way leads to life. But the narrow way is following of Christ. In Matthew 7:21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Now, the subject of faith and works and of grace is a subject that is discussed widely, and it's an important one. And it is one to which I want to call our attention as we discuss this subject of being saved by grace. There are scriptures that teach both faith and works. Ephesians 2:8-9 and James 2:14. Also Titus 3:5 and James 2:24. Now these passages are in perfect harmony. They are all in harmony one with another. And it is the task of every honest Bible student to find that harmony and accept it. The truth is, there is a faith that will save, and there is a faith that will not save. There are works that will save, and there are works that will not save. I want to call attention now to James 2:14-26, which has to do with the matter of works being necessary in order to be saved. James said, "What doth it profit, my brethren? If a man say he hath faith, but have not works, can that faith save him?" So you see, here is a vivid description of faith without works. Now it is unprofitable. He raises the question, can that faith save him? It is of no value. It is worthless as clouds with no water and trees with no fruit. And then he says, in verse 14, that it is a mere saying faith. In other words, a man says he has faith. What doth it profit, my brethren, if man say he hath faith? You see, he says he does, but have not works. Can that faith save him? Profession is insufficient if that's all we ever do. For Jesus said in Luke 6:46, "And why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say unto you?" And, of course, in Matthew 7:21, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven." This verse is not a saving faith. It only is a profession. "What doth it profit, my brethren, if man say he hath faith, but have not works?" Can that faith save him? Well, furthermore, it is a dead faith. In verse 17, "Even so faith, if it have not works, is dead in itself." As a dead body is inactive, separated, so faith, apart from works, is dead. Faith alone, or by itself, is that faith from which the life principle is gone. In other words, works are to faith what life is to the body. Furthermore, it is a faith, faith only, is a faith incapable of demonstration. James says this, "Yea, a man will say, thou hast faith, and I have works." Now listen to this, "Show me thy faith." But he doesn't conclude there. "Show me thy faith apart from thy works, and I, by my works, will show thee my faith." Now the Lord has shown his love to us. In John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Now he says, "Show me your faith." And of course, a faith that does not demonstrate is incapable of saving. But then faith that does not work is the faith of demons or of devils. In verse 19, "Thou believest that God is one. Thou doest well. The demons also believe and shudder." Irony is seen in James' reply to one who says he believes that God is one. He replies, "Thou doest well, the devils also, or demons also, believe and shudder." But friends, it takes more than demon faith to justify and save. On more than one occasion, demons recognized Jesus. They confessed him to be God's Son and actually trembled in his presence. But that was not enough to save them. Mark 5:7 and Luke 4 and in verse 34. And then faith only is an imperfect faith. "Thou seest that faith," verse 22, "thou seest that faith wrought with his works," speaking of Abraham, "and by works was faith made perfect." Now, in this particular passage, the word perfect means complete. And a faith without works is an incomplete faith. It is a faith that cannot save. But now, friends, I would call attention to the fact that faith itself is a work. The fact that we are saved by grace through faith and that not of ourselves, not of works lest any man should boast, and that's talking about boastful works, as I've mentioned, not works of obedience, causes some people to say that you do not have to do anything to be saved. But friends, they will not accept the conclusion from their own premise or argument. They say faith is necessary. But now note, the Bible tells us that some people came to Jesus and said, "What shall we do that we might work the works of God?" Jesus answered and said unto them, "This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent." John 6:28-29. Here we learn that faith is a work of God, a work which God requires of men. Now they were to do the believing. So therefore, in this sense, faith is as much a work as is baptism. Repentance is also a work, and so is the confession. They are works of obedience. They are works in the sense that they are acts required of men. But they are not works of the law of Moses. They are not works that some man or men have invented. They are not works of men. And baptism is not a work of man. Jesus tells us in Mark 16:16, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." And so therefore it is necessary to obey, but that is salvation by grace. Now, grace caused the Father to send the Son. Grace caused the Son to come that we might be saved. Hebrews 2:9, that he by the grace of God should taste death once for every man. We are saved by grace, but again I emphasize, it's through faith. And it's through works of obedience. In Acts 10:34-35, at the household of Cornelius, Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him," now notice, "and worketh righteousness is acceptable to him." But friends, what is righteousness? Well, it simply means doing the will of God. In Psalm 119:172 or 72, note that he said, "My tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness." And so we are saved by grace through faith, but it's not a dead faith. But it is the faith which is included in obedience to Christ. And we trust or rely upon the Lord for the salvation as we obey him, as promised in the gospel. Now, Christ did not say, "He that believeth and is not baptized shall be saved," but that's the way many people teach it. That is not the way he taught it. But he said, "He that believeth," that's point number one, "and is baptized," that's point number two. Now, what will result? "Shall be saved." Can you claim this promise? To refuse to obey the gospel is to reject Christ and his blood. It is to reject the grace of God and all his mercy. If you are not a Christian, if you have not obeyed the gospel, you are lost. And if you die in that condition, you will be punished forever. In 2 Thessalonians 1:7-9, "And to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire," but note, "taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ." You cannot save yourself. Cornelius was one of the best men that we read about by way of character. And yet he was told in Acts 11:13-14, that he was to send for Simon Peter, "who will tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved." Remember that Paul said we're saved by grace. But remember, he says, it is through faith on our part. When we hear the word of the gospel and believe it, and when we truly repent of every sin, Acts 15:17, Acts 17:30, and confess that Christ is the Son of God, and when we're baptized for the remission of sins, we thus contact the blood of Christ, Romans 6:3-4.